Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I'd like you to try groaning with me. Ready? Now really groan like you mean it. Ready? Now you women out there who have given birth without any pain medication, show us what it really means to groan, okay? Ready? Now that's groaning. The gut-level groan of human pain is one you don't easily ignore or forget. And for that reason, it's an image God uses in today's second reading from Romans chapter 8. But as ugly and awful a sound as it is, the Lord wants us to think of it as a sound of joyful hope as well. How can that be? Let's listen as he gets us to think about this life as a time to groan and to hope in our Savior Jesus Christ. In Romans 8, St. Paul helps us dispel a wrong idea that people hold deep in their heart, that this life right here ought to be happy. Or at the very least, that if you love God and are right with him, that your life should be happier than most people's lives. And that if it isn't, you're doing something wrong. After all, look at all the happy smiles on Facebook and all the others. Why am I missing out on all that happiness out there? We might think to ourselves. God does us a wonderful favor in his word when he challenges our presuppositions about what we think our life should be like and what he says our life in this world will be like, a world crashed by sin and oppressed by its curse. I call it a wonderful favor because it allows us to meet our life realistically and not with the false hopes held out by political dreamers and bad preachers. We Americans may have a special problem with this notion because our land has been so blessed with riches. I think of a woman from a poor nation in South America who was interviewed after she had moved to the United States. She said, "I think Americans all believe that their daily life ought to be happy and fulfilling and interesting. Where I grew up, people all assume that life in general is boring and a hard grind." Most people in this world have that kind of existence. And yet, side by side, God says we have the greatest of hope as well. Here's the first kind of groaning we considered in Paul's words. Nature groans with hope. In this section of God's Word, St. Paul talks to us as people who have tasted of sufferings of different kinds, but then compare them to what's coming in heaven. Verse 18 begins, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." Not worth comparing. Imagine an old-fashioned balance scale where the pain and sorrow we face now is placed on one side and the glories of heaven are placed on the other side. You can't begin to compare these two concepts, Paul exclaims, even as you can't compare the weight of a feather to a Mack truck. Our troubles and frustrations, our sicknesses and sadnesses can feel pretty heavy at times. So it's good for us to be reminded of this truth. At times, we can get angry at God for letting us suffer, as if we knew better how to manage our lives. Well, that's sin, isn't it? But if we do groan now, we're not the only ones groaning. Note the mysterious truth St. Paul reveals to us here. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Think of that. The whole created world is groaning, and has been, ever since the beauty of creation was tarnished by the fall into sin. The beauty of Adam's farmland, for example, would be overtaken by weeds. Animals would start attacking and killing each other. The long shadow of death would begin to creep over everything in the universe. Scientists to this day agree all matter is in a state of death and disorder. Stars are burning out. Matter is wearing out. Put a brand new car into storage for 10 years, and you will not be able to get it started. Everything needs fixing and maintaining. And even then, it eventually wears out. Nature is wearing out. Animals and plants can live for a while, but then their systems will slow down and stop. They will die and decompose into dust. As if that wasn't evidence enough, think how nature groans under the mismanagement of humankind. Oil spills and plastics pollute the seas. Hydrocarbons pollute the atmosphere, and brown clouds hang over big cities. Water becomes undrinkable, and air becomes unbreathable. On top of that, consider how the earth is being shaken by earthquakes, flooded by hurricanes, torn apart by tornadoes, and burned in droughts. Then people start disagreeing with each other, and soon horrific violence is being done by bombs and chemicals and man-made holocausts. In the words of an old African proverb, when elephants fight, the grass suffers. Do you hear it? The heavens and earth are groaning loudly. What's not so obvious is that amid all this death and disorder in the created universe, and everyone can see that, there is also a sense of hope. Paul compares this groaning to pains of childbirth. Something good is about to come out of it. He says, "For the creation, this created world, waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed." In a way that only God can truly comprehend, this created universe is looking forward to the end of this current time, when God's children are revealed as being God's children. That's Judgment Day, isn't it? Right now, no one can actually see who God's children are. They look a lot like everyone else. There are no shining crowns on their heads, no magnificent glory showing from their faces. If anything, they are oppressed and hated and despised by the world. But that will not last forever. On that last day, those who are God's children through faith will be revealed, and the universe will gasp in joy as the Lord creates a new heavens and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Nature will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. I hope you find comfort in this thought. You can't read or hear much news and commentary today without being threatened with global destruction. We are being preached at constantly that we must save this planet at great expense, that it's all on us. There are even those who proclaim that the most noble thing human beings could do for this planet is to make themselves extinct, not by reproducing anymore. It's called the VHEM, or Voluntary Human Extinction Movement, started in the 1980s. It's a panic mode that doesn't take into account what God is telling us here. Sin causes the world to groan, not the human birth rate. We can trust God. In the words of a friend, "I believe the climate is changing, but I don't worry about it." That attitude comes from knowing a God who controls everything, even the climate. Yes, the world groans, but it groans with hope as it anticipates the day of Christ's return. But there's an even bigger truth today as far as we're concerned. God's children also groan with hope. Note what St. Paul adds to all this talk about groaning. He says, "Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies." Anyone who thinks that following Jesus is going to take away the pain and sorrow of life in this world needs to listen carefully to these words. Note what Paul is saying about us Christians. This created world isn't the only source of groans. We are. We who, as he says, have the first fruits of the Spirit. In other words, we are highly favored by God. He has given us the Holy Spirit as a resident in our hearts, guiding us, teaching us, comforting us, encouraging us. He points us to Jesus as the one who bore our sins for us and set us free. What a gift. He says that God has given this Holy Spirit to us, kind of like a farmer would give a first fruit gift to God, believing that God would give him much more than that initial harvest. So the Holy Spirit is a down payment of sorts, guaranteeing that we have much more waiting for us, the redemption of our bodies, the resurrection from the dead. So much good is promised to God's children through faith in Jesus. And yet, we groan inwardly as we wait for His promise to be fulfilled. I'm sure you've caught yourself groaning about life in this body, in this sinful world. You groan as a child, upset at the way your parents boss you around. You groan as a teenager, frustrated because you don't seem to be comparing well with others around you, athletically, or in grades, or in looks, or popularity. You groan as an adult because you don't have the job you wish you did, or you're frustrated by your marriage and other relationships. You groan as an older person because your body is getting achy and sick and tired. You groan as a citizen because your government frustrates you. You groan as a sinner because you are not pleasing yourself, much less the Lord who demands your love. Yet, our groaning is not in vain. He says we have hope, even as we groan in pain and disappointment. For in this hope, he says, we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, he says, we wait for it patiently. What a contrast. We groan, but we also have a great hope amid our groaning. It is the hope that this life is not all there is, and that we have something much better coming because of our Savior Jesus. That's why we call it hope, isn't it? It's about something coming. Think of this example. A man, and this is a true story, who served at the White House, fought cancer for 10 years of chemotherapy, radiation, alternative therapies, and clinical trials. He and his wife had to immerse themselves in God's Word to find strength to go on. Some would say he should just end his life and rest in peace. Yet God blessed those years with two beautiful children, a book, and many opportunities to talk to doctors and nurses about Jesus Christ. His patient witnessing led one doctor to start a ministry to homeless cancer patients. His last days healed divides between political enemies and deep wounds among friends and family. His wife concluded, "We had many moments when we thought we couldn't take it anymore. But the hard truth is that our experience transformed our hearts and radically challenged many others. If our lives are truly about glorifying God," she reflected, "then our only option is to glorify Him where we are." You and I are asked by God to be patient now as we live in a time of groaning. I bet you can think of a bunch of things that are making you groan right now. But God calls you to be hopefully patient where you are as you think about your future in Christ Jesus. And He freely gives you His Holy Spirit to endure all things while you wait for that blessed day when you will groan no more. Go ahead, friends. Groan now, but groan in hope. Amen.